it's very imperative to be smart with your money. As this as Finance Fridays are about, it's about getting your money to work for you. Well, if you're just going to leave it and let it get pummeled, it's not working for you, right? And that's why I wanted to share this.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is Finance Fridays. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show, my fellow investors out there. Before I get into today's episode, just wanted to thank you all. For those of you that have been with me, at least from the beginning of the year, you know I had a goal to reach 100 ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts originally by the end of this year, by the end of 2022. And then I realized how awesome you guys are at taking time to leave me a rating and review that I realized I did not need big of a runway to achieve that. So I updated it to reach that by the end of June. So halfway through the year, 6 months in. And again, you guys are amazing because we hit that. We are at 100 five-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. And I'm coming to you mid-May recording this. So we've already hit this way even before a month and a half before our deadline. So I got to think of a next one. My goal is, I've been thinking about 200 by the end of the year. And I think we can get there. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you all. And as always, if you are finding value from this show, not only just leave a rating review, because that obviously does help get this show out to others, but share it with a friend, family, colleague, someone who you think can also get value from these shows. Because that's the point of this, is just share what I've learned and what others have learned throughout their careers to hopefully help others navigate this crazy world. Because after all, you know, we're here to not only make money for ourselves and our families for generations to come and create that stable financial support, but also so we can make the world a better place. In order to do that, we need two major resources, and that's time and money. And first, we need the money, and then the money gives us time then to go and make the world a better place. So if you know someone else who get value from the show, greatly appreciate you sharing it with them. All right, well, let's just jump into today's show. As you all know, the markets are crazy out there, both the stock market, bond market, real estate market's crazy too. Seems to keep going up. Some areas we've seen some, maybe a little bit of price either staying flat or reducing a little bit. For the most part, I've seen on the commercial side, cap rates not going up, but interest rates have gone up and are kind of staying flat. If you watch the 10-year, which I advise you to do if you don't, because that's very predictive historically of the 30-year mortgage or any type of 30-year debt. And that's been floating around the 1.9 to 1.8. It's touched over 3 a couple times, but very briefly, and seems to retreat. There's a point where maybe it's stayed at 3 for maybe a day, a couple of few days, but primarily it's been under that 3% mark. And currently, as I'm recording, is at about 1.8. Crazy market out there. And the stock market, at least the media likes to make you think that's the holy grail, that's the end all be all of everything, right? And to a point, you get it, right? Because that's showing the health of the major U.S. companies, specifically the S&P 500, the 500 largest U.S. companies. It's showing the health of these companies, right? And thereby, it's kind of indicative of the health of the country. They're not doing well, the index as a whole, then it's got to relate to something in the health of the economy, maybe. People can't afford to buy as much. We're entering some sort of recession. That's kind of what they like to view it. So the point of this is, I'm sure you've seen this all over the news, that the S&P 500, the Dow Jones are down. And actually, if we look at it, they're actually, the S&P 500 has had its worst start to a year since 1939. So, you know, we're talking over 90 years, or excuse me, over 80 years now. So it's crazy. That means something, right? And the reason why I'm talking about this is because I had a conversation with one of my investors the other day. She wanted to know, on your next deal, what's the minimum investment? And she asked that because we've had different minimums before, 50, 100. And most of ours going forward are most likely be 100. Don't quote me on that, because I could put something on that's 50. But the point of it is, she's asking that because she wanted in on the next deal, because she wanted to diversify. Well, obviously, she loves what we do, but she also wanted to diversify a little more out of equities and into real estate. And so she wanted to know how much, because She wanted to know if it was 50 or 100 because she'd prefer not to sell equities if it was close to that 100. And then she didn't want to sell equities because the market's down, right? And the thought is, well, if I'm down, then I can't make it back if I sell. And I do get that to a point, right? It does make sense. If you lose money in a stock and you take it out and then you sell, that money is lost, right? You got to look at it at other ways as well. Like, are you below your initial investment? Like, have you actually lost money? So now if you sell, you have less money than what you originally put in, or are you just down from your peak? If so, you're losing money compared to what the peak value was, peak share price, but you're not down from what you originally put in. You're still up, just not up as much. And this comes to a point that has always stuck with me. The very famous investor, Jeremy Grantham, British investor, has been very good at picking recessions. It's been around for a long time. Actually, coincidentally, 1939, the S&P 500's worst start since 1939 was actually the year he was born, which is kind of funny. But anyways, he's been around and seen a lot of recessions and has called a lot of them. And what stuck with me is he's always said that when he calls these, he generally sells on the earlier side. And sometimes does he miss some of that upside? Yes. Or maybe he sells right after the upside and maybe he's lost a little bit of that upside, but he still sells. And his point is, well, it's better to lose a little than to lose a lot. And so that's what I want to talk about today, because this investor didn't want to sell because she's down. And so if you sell, then you're down, right? There's no way to make that back up. But you got to look at not so micro, you got to look at the macro level. Okay, let's just say this is an 08, a 2000, a 1929. There was a bunch of false bottoms. And so if you get stuck in that mindset, then you're going to end up losing even more. So if I'm going to pull up some charts here, and if we just look at the S&P 500, for most people that are probably listening to this, they're more familiar with the 08 recession than any of the others. But in 08, so it reached about a peak around October of 07, and then it steadily declined until March of 08. And then everyone thought that was the bottom. People started buying in again, and then it rose back up to around to at about May of 2008, so 2 months later. And then this is when it dropped, right? And it dropped, and there was another false bottom around July of 08, climbed up a little bit and to August of 08, and then it just free fell, hit bottom in October of 08, then another false climb in December, and then this is when it hit the true bottom in February of 09, when it hit true bottom. And then from there, it started to climb up. And then if we look at the Dow Jones in 1929, because S&P 500 wasn't indexed then, it hit its peak in September of 1929. And then as we all know, the Black Friday happened and hit a bottom in November of 1929, and then started to climb back up. And that was in about around 1930. And then it just went down into a free fall. And that was around in the early 30s and hit bottom. And then 33, it had its largest gain, or March of 33 of 15.3, one largest one-day gain. And yeah, 1932 was the lowest point. And then after that, that was that gain. And then it slowly started to climb back up. So the point of this, we are in uncharted territories right now. There's a lot of volatility out there, and don't get caught up in like, I'm down. If I sell now, I lose. I'll never get it back. That's true. But also you got to realize, is there more to come? Do you want to lose a little? Or do you want to lose a lot? Personally, and I just want to preface this by saying, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving any advice. All I'm doing is sharing what I've learned, what I'm doing, and what I believe is best for myself. And currently, I do not have any equities of my own. I've sold those over the last year. I've sold all those. So currently, I don't have any equity exposure. I do manage a small portfolio for my parents. They also manage their own stuff too. They have advisors and all that good stuff, but I manage a small portion of that, and I've retreated that all out of equities. And for a while, it was like, when I did it, like I did it slowly, gradually, did it at certain positions. And for a while, yeah, I didn't get all the upside, right? So I was technically losing. And I didn't know when it was going to come. I don't have a crystal ball. No economist really does. It's just you got to make educated decisions. It's a little bit based on gut too, right? It's just get that feeling, but it's based on history. It's based on fundamentals, which there essentially was really no fundamentals in the stock markets, right? That super overpriced, in my opinion, PE ratios out of whack. So yeah, I didn't get that upside, but I'm not getting any of the downside right now. And what I would say now, even if I still had some at this point over the last few weeks, I would have sold 100% because just looking at the fundamentals and the technicals on this, there's, in my opinion, a lot more room for it, especially with PE ratios are out of whack, supply chains are out of whack, and there's no really end in sight to it. Geopolitical unrest, commodity prices, crazy. We all know the energy crisis that's going on. I should maybe not call it a crisis, but prices are crazy. People are saying it could get up to average in the US around $6 a gallon by August, which we all know when energy prices, when oil prices get to that, if when they increase at all, they affects everything because energy is made to produce things and to transport things to get to you, right? So it just domino effect down the line of price increases. And we all know inflation's rampant. And I don't see that slowing down. Even with rates, we still see rates increasing. We still see inflation increasing. It's going to be interesting to see the new numbers. So the point is, I still would sell personally if I still had exposure. And sometimes I'm even guilty of this, but a lot of people are guilty of this. And they say, like, you should always put money to work, right? It shouldn't just be sitting there, right? And that's true to an extent. One, yes, I still have a lot of my money to work, and that's in real estate, which is performing extremely well. But there's also something to say about having what is called in the financial industry is dry powder. Having a bunch of cash ready to deploy when there's a lot of blood in the streets, right? When there's a lot of cheap stuff to buy. And I don't think, and we're, even though S&P 500 worst start since 1939, I still don't think things are cheap because it's been so overpriced. Things are still not cheap. There's still a runway for things to go down. So I think it's very imperative to be smart with your money. Has this Finance Fridays are about, it's about getting your money to work for you. Well, if you're just going to leave it and let it get pummeled, it's not working for you, right? And that's why I wanted to share this. And I think important thing to look at too is everyone talks about the S&P 500, which I've just been talking about, but it's also important to look at the Russell 2000. And the Russell 2000 makes up the largest top 2000 small businesses in the US. And why it's important to look at the Russell 2000, because I think it gives you, compared and with the S&P 500, is because it gives you a full look at the financial health of the economy, right? Because S&P 500 just looks at the top 500 largest companies in the US. And that's great and all, but that's a different breed from the majority of the businesses in the country, right? They're more insulated to fight, for the most part, not all, but most are more insulated to fight against a recession. They have the scale, the resources to do so, whereas the smaller companies don't necessarily have that, right? And so it's, this is a great index to look at because this is going to show you like the true health of the economy, what our majority of the business is doing. Obviously, we can't look at them all, but this is gives you a good insight into that, right? There's obviously way more small business than our large business. And so I just wanted to look at the Russell 2000. If you look at the chart, it's already down over 20%. Year to date, it's down 22%. Over the last year, it's down over 20%. And from its peak in November of last year, it is down 28%. And you will notice that it hit its peak before the S&P 500. Now, the S&P 500 hit its peak very end of December of last year, and then it started its decline. And so you can see how it's kind of, Russell is kind of a leading indicator of what's really going on. And when you're looking at a recession, they generally say drop in 20% or more in the overlying market. And so we haven't quite seen that with the S&P from its peak, but we have seen it in the Russell. And I think it's very important to look at the Russell because of its mix of small companies and what's really going on in the market. And so the Russell, even for the year, it's been down. I think it's for the last year. If you look at the S&P, it recently just hit that. Now, I mentioned Jeremy Grantham earlier, and I just wanted to bring him up again. And you got to take everything with a grain of salt. This guy has seen a lot, though. He's been very good at predicting bubbles. But he compares it to 2000. And for those of you that aren't familiar, that was the dot-com bubble led to that, where there was this crazy activity going on, right? People, just because it had dot-com in its name, people would invest in it. And it was a big bubble that crashed. And then what happened at 9/11 kind of poured more fuel on the flame. So he said, this bubble superficially looks very much like 2000, focused on US tech led by NASDAQ, going to incredible highs with the opening weakness in NASDAQ, which started to fall along with the Russell 2000 long before the S&P 500 did. So again, he mentions that the Russell fell before the S&P 500. He said, what I fear is that there are a couple of differences with 2000 that are more serious. One of them is that 2000 was exclusively in the US stocks. The bonds were great. Yields were terrific. Housing was cheap. Commodities were well-behaved. But we all know that's not necessarily what's going on right now, right? And he continues, what you never want to do in a bubble is mess with housing. And we're selling at a higher multiple of family income than we did at the top of the so-called housing bubble in 2006. In addition, the bond market recently had the lowest lows in 6,000 years of history. 6,000 years. In addition, energy prices have pushed up and metals and food prices are actually on the UN index higher than they have ever been before in real terms. He continues, so we are really messing with all of the assets. So this has turned out historically to be very dangerous. Grantham added, pointing to similarities between today and Japan's massive asset bubble in the late 1980s. In Japan, you know, stocks have yet to reclaim the high they saw at the peak in 1989, which is a good year, year I was born. And then he goes on to say, the first thing to go in a recession is profit margins. And that is very likely to happen this time. We should be in some sort of recession pretty quickly. And he does mention the whole profit margin thing, or at least I will mention with the whole profit margin thing. We've kind of already started to see that. If you saw earlier this week, or might have been end of last week, Walmart and Target released earnings, and those their profit was down, margins down. So we're starting to see it on the retail side. So there's some crazy stuff going out there. Obviously, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. It's going to be really indicative of what happens geopolitically. If we can get supply chains under control and energy prices under control, like he says, I agree with him. You know, not only in 2000, it was mostly just focused on the stock market, right? Now we got everything going, commodities, energy, housing. And one thing I will mention about bonds hitting the lowest in over 6,000 years of history, which is crazy, is why I think we see a lot of money moving into real estate. Because historically, bonds have been the place to go get yield. Especially institutions need yield for their investors, for pension funds, insurance companies need searching for yield. Big institutional players search for yield because they need that steady, consistent yield. And so now the place to find that more than anything else is commercial real estate or real estate in general. Clip that coupon, rent income producing real estate. And so there could be a downturn in maybe single family residential side of it, but I don't think we're going to see anything in the commercial side of it just because there's so much demand and the supply has been lagging so much. Now, there may be some retreating in prices due to where rates go, sure, but I don't think there's going to be any major correction on the commercial side of things. But in the stock market, commodities market, I think, are we going into a major recession? I don't know. But are we more likely than not heading into one? Yeah, I think we're kind of already in one personally, but into a major one, I think more likely than not. So again, I'm not giving any financial advice. This is just personally from my experience in finance, from my experience in the real estate industry and what I've learned from those that have come before me. I'm just sharing that knowledge and letting you know what I'm personally doing. I hope there was some value in this. I hate being the doomsday guy and all that, but I think it's important to be smart with your money, put it in order, and just be ready for opportunities. People truly make large amounts of wealth in bad times. It's just simple as that. And you got to be one willing to take the risk. Everyone else is afraid and calling you crazy. And to do that, you got to have capital, right? You got to have some dry powder to do that, whether it's yours or aligned with another investor. So sometimes you just got to walk a different path and be that contrarian. And easy doesn't pay well. Instant gratification is the destruction in the long run. So always remember, it's not just working hard for your money, but having your money work hard for you. You can't do that if it's fallen. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in as always. Go out there and make your dreams come true because no one else is going to do it for you. All right, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.